Okay, this week is Parshas Vayechi, which begins in your stone Chumash on page 268. So the first pasuk reads, Vayechi Yaakov be'eretz Mitzrayim 17 shana. Yaakov lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. Vayechi yemei Yaakov shnei chayov. And the days of Yaakov, the years of his life, were 147 years. And then it continues and talks about the time is approaching for him to die. And it talks about things that he did before he died. So a number of things about this first pasuk. I really just want to talk primarily about this one pasuk today. First of all, beginning of the pasuk, Vayechi Yaakov Eretz Mitzrayim 17 shana. Yaakov lived in Egypt for 17 years. So the first couple of questions here. The first question is the word Vayechi. Excuse me, I think we may have spoken about this in the past. Vayechi means he lived, but the truth is, and it gets a little bit lost in the translation, that it's a peculiar kind of word to say that he lived in Mitzrayim. In English, we would say he lived there for 17 years. But when we say he lived there for 17 years, we really mean that was his home, right? That a person lives where someone lives. That we mean that's where they made their home. If we turn back one just to the very last pasuk in last week's parasha, it says, "Yeshev Yisrael be'eretz Mitzrayim." That Yisrael, so they translate it means he settled in the land of Mitzrayim. But the word "Vayeshev" is also often translated as he lived. But that means "Vayeshev" means that that's where a person dwelled. I think would be probably the word that would be more precise as to what it means. That's the person, that was his dwelling place. So Vayeshev, that means that's where a person settled, that's where a person dwelled. So if the pasuk was saying that Yaakov was made his home in Mitzrayim for 17 years, the word would probably be Vayeshev, which actually says that already, and then the last six parsha, that's where Yaakov made his home. So Vayechi is an emphasis on the life that he was alive. Vayechi Yaakov, yeah, it's not an exact translation, but it has more what I'm going to say now. But it has more of a connotation that Yaakov was alive in Mitzrayim for 17 years. The word Vayechi comes from the word Chayim, which means life. It's emphasizing the fact that he was alive for 17 years, and then afterwards he was going to die, and he died. But why is the pasuk emphasizing the fact that he was alive? He was in Mitzrayim. He lived in Mitzrayim. He dwelled in Mitzrayim. If he dwelled there, obviously he was alive. It said it already says before that he dwelled in Mitzrayim. So he was in Mitzrayim for 17 years. What's by Yechi? I think that's a very unusual way of saying that that's where he was for 17 years. Could have said by Yiyu, he was there. And the truth is, the whole thing is really seems to be superfluous, because we know how old Yaakov was when he came down, to Mitzrayim. In last week's parasha, Paro asked him how old he is, and he gave his age. And that's how old he was when he came down to Mitzrayim. 130, he says, I was 130 years. So he was 130 years when he went down to Mitzrayim, and then this pasuk says that how old was Yaakov? How old was Yaakov now when he was going to die? He was 147. So if he came down to Mitzrayim when he was 130, and he was dying when he was 147, we don't have to be a mathematician to know that he was in Mitzrayim for 17 years. So the whole this whole phrase saying that he was there for 17 years, that he was alive for 17 years in Mitzrayim, seems to be totally superfluous, something that we can just understand from the fact that he was 130 when he came down, and he was there, he remained there until he died, which was when he was 147. So obviously he was alive there for 17 years. So why does the Torah have to emphasize the fact that he was alive for 17 years in Mitzrayim? That's kind of one question, two questions. I don't know how many we just asked. Why it emphasizes the fact that he's alive, and why it has to emphasize these, make a point of these 17 years altogether when we could have just figured it out. Then the pasuk continues, and it says, "Vayehi yemei Yaakov shnei chayov." It was the days of Yaakov, the years of his life were 147 years. So here the commentaries point out that these two words, shnei chayov, the years of his life, also seem to be extra words. The pasuk could have just said the days of Yaakov were 147. Those were his days. Of course we mean the years of his life. We could just say the days of Yaakov, 147 years. It says years, 107 years and 140 years. So why does the Torah say, repeat or emphasize shnei chayov? Those were the years of his life. What other years do we think they were? Obviously, those are the years that he was alive. That also seems to be extra. And one other thing which I saw pointed out to just today, which I never noticed before, is one of the commentators, the Orach Chaim, points out, is the way that the Torah writes the years of Yaakov is different than what we find in other places. For example, when it says the years of Avram, or it says the years of Sarah. Here it says 7 years and 40 and 100 years. So it starts with the smallest number, seven. It says 7 and 40 and 100. Now, for example, I guess the most famous one is the beginning of Parshas Chayei Sarah, where we talk about Sarah's there, and there it says 100 years and 20 years and 7 years. So it goes backwards. It goes the other way. It starts with the large number and it goes down to the smaller number. And the same is by Avram, when he was 175 years. It was 100 years and 70 years and 5 years. And Yitzchak also was written that way. The 100, 180, I think it was Yitzchak. So why here by Yaakov's, the days where it lists the number of years and the age of Yaakov when he died, it goes the opposite way. 7 years and 40 years and 100 years. Why is that? So maybe those are enough questions for now. So again, just to repeat the questions, why talk about Yaakov was alive for 17 years? He lived in, he dwelled in Egypt for those 17 years. Obviously, he was alive. And why are we talking about those 17 years? Altogether, we can just figure them out from the math. And when it says the days of Yaakov, the age of Yaakov, why does it emphasize those were the years of his life? Of course, they were the years of his life. Those were his days. That's how old he was. Why does it say emphasize the years of his life? And also, why does it say it starting from the lower number going up to the higher number? Those are all the questions I want to point out on this pasuk. Maybe I'll just throw in one more question. And that is, and this is something really, it requires probably it requires a number of classes just to figure this out. But we know that Yaakov, the Torah goes back and forth between the two names of Yaakov, Yaakov and Yisrael. And right here, if you look at this pasuk, the pasuk starts, Vayechi Yaakov, Yaakov lived. And then it says again, Vayehi Yemei Yaakov, these were the days of Yaakov. The very next pasuk, it switches his name. Vayikrevu Yemei Yisrael Lomus. The time approached for Yisrael to die. And if you turn back a page, it says, Vayeshev Yisrael Be'eretz Mitzrayim. Yisrael lived in Eretz Mitzrayim. So the pasuk right before this calls him Yisrael, and the pasuk right after this calls him Yisrael. And then in the middle, all of a sudden, we decide to call him Yaakov. Like, what's the reason for that? Maybe we can get some insight on that also. So, I'd like to, just to start answering these questions, I'd like to share with you one idea which many of the commentaries say, which I think we may have spoken about in the past, and that is that there was something special about these 17 years. The Torah emphasizes the 17 years that he was in Mitzrayim, the last 17 years of his life, because there was something unique, something particularly significant about these 17 years. And it's interesting. I'm not usually so into gematria, but I'll share with you one. It says Vayechi, the Balaturim here at the beginning of the parsha says that the Vayechi, if you the gematria, the word Vayechi, it's a relatively easy one. Vav is 6, Yud is 10, is 16, Ches is 8. Is 16 plus 8 is 24. And then the last yud is another 10, which is 34. So the gematria is 34. So the Balaturim says 34 is 2 times 17. He says that there was two sets of 17 years in Yaakov's life that's when Yaakov really, his life was at a high. The first one of the 17 years was when from the time Yosef was born until the time Yosef was 17 years old when he was sold. Because that was right after, he was basically finished with Lavan. I mean, he was pretty much done with the most difficult part of his life in the house of Lavan. And, Yosef was born and that's when he left. And for the first 17 years that he spent with Yosef, That was special to him. And then the last 17 years, which again he spent with Yosef actually, were also very special. So Vayechi is, those 34 years were the most special years, were the most, the high point in Yaakov's life. And particularly, I would say, it was the last 17 years. We can say that for the first 17 years, we don't find the word Vayechi, but the word Vayechi, which I think other commentaries point out, that's when he really lived his life. He lived his life on a totally new plane, on a completely different level during those last 17 years. That he was reunited with Yosef. He was in Egypt with all of his children and his grandchildren, everyone, the whole family was reunited, and he didn't have any more of those, the previous parts of his life. His life was full of, Yaakov's life was full of tzaras. He had all sorts of troubles through his life, being pursued by Esav, having so much trouble with Lavan, and then with abduction of Dinah, and then the loss of Yosef. One trouble after the other Yaakov had in his life. Until finally the last 17 years of life was maybe in a sense smooth sailing, so to speak. Vayechi, that's when his life was on a completely different level. Gematria of Tov, what are you saying there, Mark? Gematria of Tov is 17. Tes is 9. Vav is another 6 is 15. And Beis is 2 is 17. Very good. Okay, great. So Tov is 17. So that's another hint. Thank you. Thank you for that, Mark.
Well, I just had that note, so I probably got that from you.
It could be. It's possible that I said that at one point. But, okay. So those last 17 years were, that's when Yaakov really lived. So the Archaim, and this I just saw again, I don't think I ever said this in the past because I don't remember seeing this before. The Archaim says that also explains why when it lists Yaakov's life, it starts with the lower number, with the 7 years and the 40 years and the 100 years, 147 years. It's kind of like starting from the end. Sheva Shonim is the last, it refers to the last 7 years of his life. Usually the way the numbers work is that the larger numbers they usually go first because it's referring to the first year, the first 100 years, and the 40 is the next 40 years. And then the last is just left, 140 and change, right? The last, the 7 at the end. So he says we emphasize, the pasuk is emphasizing by the way it lists the age of Yaakov, the different parts of his life, the 100 and the 40 and the 7, by putting the 7 first, it's emphasizing that the last part of his life was the part, those last 7 years, which is part of the last 17 years, is something that was the most significant part of his life. That's at least maybe the beginning of answering some of these questions. Now, I'll share with you one other thing. The Or Chaim says that he says something which I think is puzzling. So I'm going to share you a puzzling thing he says, and I'll try to explain it. He says that this also, I'm following the same line. He says that's why the Torah emphasizes Shnei Chayov, the years of his life. He says the days of Yaakov, the years of his life, was 7 years, 40 years, and 100 years. Now, the truth of the matter is, in some sense, it's a little bit of a contradiction with what we just said. We just said Yaakov lived for 17 years. And so in some sense, those were the only years that he lived. Vayichi Yaakov, his life was those 17 years. Everything else, it wasn't the same level of life. But then the Torah says that the life, the entire 147 years, they're called the years of his life. So is it only the 17 years that's the years of his life? Or is it all 147 that's the years of his life? So says the Or HaChaim that in some sense he quotes a concept that we find from our sages of, I think it's in the Gemara or the Medrash, I don't remember, that is the concept, in English we say something like, all's well that ends well, right? There's some kind of idea that if those last 17 years were years of life, so that somehow retroactively makes it that the whole thing were years of life. That's what he writes. So we read it, Yaakov lived for 17 years in Mitzrayim, and because of that, the whole 147 years were years of his life. Shnei Chayov. The whole 147 years were years of his life. The 17 years somehow affected retroactively the whole 147 years that they were all years of his life. That's the kind of concept that the Or HaChaim writes. And that concept, I think, requires some understanding. What does that mean? The whole rest of his life was full of, we just said, it was full of all sorts of tsaros and problems. So just because the 17, I mean, how do we understand that? All's well that ends well. Is that really true? While it was, everything was going on, it was very, very painful. So how are we supposed to understand that? So I think that there's a very, significant idea here. And we may have spoken about this in the past, but I think it came across in a stronger way than before. And I want to point something out. I think we can find a clue to what's going on here in the end of Yaakov's life from something a little bit later in the parasha. I'm just going to look at one pasuk. If you have your chumash, it's on page 274. Right before Yaakov died, he called together all his sons. Beginning of chapter 49, Perek Memtes, Pasuk Aleph, it says, "Vayikra Yaakov Abanov." Yaakov called his son to his sons, "Vayomer," and he said, "Hey, Asvu Vagido Lachem, assemble yourselves, and I will tell you, Eis Asher Yikra Eschem Ba'achris Hayomim. I will tell you what will befall you in the end of days." So Yaakov called his sons, and he says, "I'm going to talk to you about the end of days." And Rashi there brings, I think it's a Medrash, that says that Yaakov wanted to tell them the time of the time that the final redemption is going to come, the time the Mashiach is going to come, and Hashem took away his divine inspiration and he wasn't able to share that. But the question really is, why Yaakov at the end of his life, is he sharing or does he want to share this information about the end of days? And we don't find that Yaakov wanted to share it earlier. We don't find that Yitzchak or Avram wanted to share that information. If they were privy to that information or not, I don't know. But whatever the case may be, we only find Yaakov doing it, and only at the end of his life. What's this idea that Yaakov wanted to share the idea about the end of days? And I think if we understand the answer to that, we can understand a lot about what this last 17 years of Yaakov were all about. So I think that the answer to this seems to be with the following principle. That we know that it's a famous idea that the Ramban talks about and others talk about a lot, which is that the lives of the patriarchs, the lives of the Avos, Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, were actually, like the way it's usually expressed, is Maisa Avos Simul Nabonim. That what happened to the patriarchs is a sign of what's going to happen to their descendants. And the Ramban puts it a little bit differently. The Ramban says that the lives of Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov actually were created the subsequent history of the Jewish people. Everything that happens to the Jewish people in subsequent history is somehow rooted in the lives of Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. So if we look at it that way, we'll realize that this parasha is actually parasha of Vayechi, which is the end of Sefer Bereishis, is the end of the Sefer that deals with Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. So it's actually the closing of the history of Ram, maybe you can say of the history of the people of the Jewish people repeats itself. There's round one and round two. First, the history of Jewish people happens through the lives of the patriarchs, and then the history of people unfolds in the lives of the descendants. That's a little way the Ramban says it. It's kind of like a seed, that the lives of Avraham and Yaakov is the seed from which the subsequent Jewish history grows. So we're ending off in this parasha with the end of the life of Yaakov Avinu, is the end of Jewish history in the round one of it, on the seed level. And therefore, we can well understand that the end of Yaakov Avinu's life corresponds to the end of Jewish history, the end of days. That's why Yaakov, at the end of his life, wants to reveal the time of the end of days. Because what he's living through, he's actually living through the period of the end of days. On the level of the patriarchs. And that's why Yaakov had a specific connection, especially during that time, with the end of days. And that's what he wanted to share with his children. If we understand that, then we can understand that Vayechi Yaakov, that the last 17 years of Yaakov's life, where it says that was his real, that's when he really lived, when he lived on a completely different level, that corresponds to the end of Jewish history, which is the times of Mashiach in this world, the end of Jewish history in this world, which is the time that the Jewish people are going to be living on a totally different plane of existence than they did before. And that, so Yaakov, being the seed level Jewish history, ends with living his life on a level completely different than ever before, and that's what happens to it. That's what's going to happen subsequently to his descendants. That they're going to end their history by living a life on a whole different level than they ever did before. So that's I think how we can understand what the idea of the last 17 years of Yaakov's life is altogether. But that, I have to tell you, so this is a concept that I've come across before, and maybe I shared it with you before even, but something always troubled me about this. And that is that if Yaakov's last 17 years of his life correspond to the days of the Mashiach, so why in the world is he spending them in Egypt? It seems like totally incongruous. He leaves the land of Israel and goes to Egypt for the days of Mashiach. It seems to be totally off. The days of Mashiach, we hope to be leaving the land of Egypt to go to wherever we are, to go back to the land of Israel for the days of Mashiach. So what is this? How do we understand that Yaakov ended his life is by Yechi? This was the greatest level. The greatest level of all was Vayechi Yaakov, 17 years. Where was it? In Mitzrayim. How do we understand that? So, in order to understand this, I wanted to connect Maybe I've said this in the past. I don't know. I don't really remember saying this in the past. If I did, maybe Mark has it on his notes. but I want to connect to this an idea, which I think I did share this idea with you before, but I think that it sheds a lot of light on this particular question. There's a Rambam. The Rambam, when he talks about the days of the Mashiach, says something very interesting and seems rather strange. The Rambam says that when Mashiach comes, there are not going to be any overt miracles. At least in the days of Mashiach. During the days of Mashiach, maybe at the very beginning there will be, but he says during the days of Mashiach, the world is going to continue the way it was before. We're not going to be living in a miraculous, what we would consider a miraculous existence. Olam kemenhagei hayleich, the Rambam says. The world is going to go the same way it usually is. The sun will rise in the morning. It'll rain. There'll be weather patterns. Probably from the Rambam, it would seem that people will die. People will be born. People will die. There will be the regular cycle of life as we're familiar with now. That's what the Rambam writes about the days of Mashiach, which sounds very strange. We would think that the whole history is waiting, is leading up to those great days, the days of the Mashiach. You would think it should be days that come with constant miracles, like the splitting of the sea and all sorts of things like that, and the sun shining 24 hours. And, maybe we find those kind of concepts a little bit here and there, but we would think those would be constant miracles. We should live a constantly open and miraculous existence. The Rambam says no. Olam kemenhagei hayleich. So there's an idea. Maybe I'll connect to this another idea. There's another idea that I think that goes together with this. The Gemara tells us, and this is also an idea that I've shared before, but I want to put it into this context. The Gemara tells us there's a pasuk that we say every time we say Aleinu, we end off with this pasuk. V'haya Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz, that Hashem will be the king over the whole world. V'yayimahu, and that day he Hashem echad u'shmelech, Hashem will be one, and his name will be one. So the Gemara, I think, Masechta Pesachim, asks the question, well, then Hashem will be one, and today Hashem is not one. What does that mean? Hashem will be one in that day. Says the Gemara a couple of things, but one thing the Gemara says is the following. The Gemara says that now, in these days, there are two separate, two types of brachas that we say. There's two brachas that we say under different circumstances. On good news, we make a bracha, bracha to Hashem, ken mechama, tov v'hameitiv. We say Hashem is good and bestows good. That's what we say when we're hearing good news. When we hear Hashem, God forbid, bad news, we make a bracha, dayan ha'emes. Hashem is the true judge. So he says today there's two separate brachas. There's a tov ha'meitiv on good news, the dynamics of bad news. He says in the future, says the Gemara, there's only going to be one bracha, a tov ha'meitiv, and that's it. Only that bracha. So explain the commentaries that what does that mean? Does that mean that in the future there's only going to be good things? In other words, today there's two different types of things that happen. Like, say, for example, somebody's born, so maybe you say Atoyva Hameitiv. Somebody Chasom dies, you say Diana Emmons. So what does that mean? When Mashiach comes, there'll be people born, but no one's going to die. It's possible there's an opinion like that, but the Rambam doesn't seem to ascribe to that opinion that we quoted before. From the Rambam and from others, it seems that people will die during the days of Mashiach. So what do we mean that in the days of Mashiach, no one will say dynamis? What happens? What will be the bracha when people die? So what's the answer? The answer has to be that when Mashiach comes, even when people will die, we'll say atayva ameitiv. Why is that? Because the whole concept that there are certain things that are good news, and certain things that are bad news, that whole concept won't exist in that when Mashiach comes. When Mashiach comes, we'll be able to see that the things that we experience now as bad news is really just as good news as the good news. The whole distinction between good news and bad news will fall away in the days of Mashiach. Everything will be good news. Even if not the different things will happen, The very same things that today we call bad news, we'll understand and we'll experience them totally as good news. And we and more than that, we'll be able to look back at all the things that we previously, throughout the whole history before, thought was bad news, and we'll be able to see that all those things were also good news. So there'll be good news, there'll be the bracha tova meitiv on every single thing that happened in history. Whether at the time it was experienced as good or at the time it was experienced as bad. That's what the days of Mashiach is. And with that, we can also understand the Rambam, what we asked before in the Rambam, that the distinction between miracles and nature, for example, that whole distinction. Today, there are certain things that seem to be normal, regular, and then there's certain things that we say, wow, that's the hand of Hashem, it's miraculous. When Mashiach comes, we're gonna look at the things that today seem like ho-hum, like nature, and we'll be able to look at them and say, wow, that's the hand of Hashem. Everything's the hand of Hashem. There's not going to be a different kind of existence in the sense that different things are going to happen when Mashiach comes. Then the same things are going to happen. The sun is going to go up. People will be born. People will die. All of those things. But we'll look at those things in a completely different way. We'll be able to see that everything is the hand of Hashem. There's nothing more miraculous than the not miraculous. Miraculous things. And not miraculous things that are just as miraculous as miraculous things. That's the perspective of Mashiach. The perspective of Mashiach is that everything that happened before, whether it's looked bad before, it's not bad, it's good. It's the same good as everything else is good. And everything that happened before that looked like it's not the hand of Hashem, it's not miraculous. No, it is miraculous. And that's why the days of Mashiach has to specifically be the same kind of existence as we had till now. It's not something new, it's just a different, the lights are turning on that we're able to see what happened before, what's happening now in a totally different way. And it's a way that everything's the hand of Hashem and everything's for the good. And that's the idea of today's Mashiach. This was the concept I shared in the past. I originally heard it from Rabbi Meyer, actually, in the name of Rabbi Shlomo Wolbe, when he was talking about Purim, but we're not quite ready for Purim now. Maybe we'll talk about it again when it gets closer to Purim. But for now, I just want to say that we can go back now, we can understand, perhaps we can start answering our question. Vayechi Yaakov, the last 17 years, Yaakov really lived. And those 17 years correspond to the days of Mashiach. So we're saying, why is he living them in Egypt? Right? That's where the days of Mashiach are, in Egypt. And the answer is yes. Because the entire distinction between Egypt and Israel, now I'm not sure exactly if there's not going to be a specific land, Kedusha of the land of Israel more than the rest of the world when Mashiach comes, but it could be, it's possible that now we really have to find the Midrash. But the idea over here is that when the days of Mashiach, everything is going to be so manifest that whether you're living in Egypt or whether you're living in the land of Israel, it doesn't really make a difference because you're able to see clearly the hand of Hashem in everything, in every situation, wherever you are. The lights are going to be turned on in the entire creation, and therefore you're going to be able to see Hashem. Even Mitzrayim is the land compared to the land of Israel, it represents the darker side of the world. It's the land of Egypt, and that's where actually the Jewish people ended up going into slavery, etc. It's the bad part of the world, so to speak, is represented in Egypt, and that's why Yaakov specifically had the Vayechi in Egypt, because that's what the end of days is about. What the end of the days is about is that even in the bad part of the world, it's lit up to the extent that we don't see it as bad anymore. There's only a Tov HaMeitiv. Even Mitzrayim is a Tov HaMeitiv. Even Mitzrayim could be Vayechi. And maybe that's why he uses the name Yaakov also, as opposed to Yisrael. Because Yisrael is the name of the higher level of Yaakov Avinu. And Yaakov is the name of, is the concept of the struggles of Yaakov Avinu. But the idea is that during those 17 years, what Yaakov was able to experience was that the main little difference if he was Yaakov or if he was Israel, because in the context of that of the real life of the Vayichi, everything is the same. It's Bayoma, it's Hashem Echad Shmo Echad. Everything is one. It's just the presence of Hashem, which is totally manifest. And with that we can understand, go back to the quote, what Aruch Chaim said, that it says, Vayechi Yaakov, when Yaakov lived for those 17 years in Mitzrayim, so then, Yaakov Shnei Chayov, that all the days of Yaakov became those days of his life. It was all 147 years that were the days of his life, because looking back from the perspective of those 17 years, Yaakov was able to understand that, you know, all the tzaras that he had, all the Dina emes that he thought he lost Yosef, and the terrible thing that happened to Dina, and the fact he was being pursued by Esav, and all those terrible things that he went through, which at the time didn't feel like it was real life, he was able to look back at them and see that all of those things were atova hametiv things. All of those things were things that were totally the Hashem's direction of it for the good was totally manifest during those last 17 years of Yaakov's life. So I think this is the message of the end of the Sefer Bereishis. The Sefer Bereishis, like we said, is the Sefer of the days of the other, of the lives of the others, which are represent the total future of the Jewish history. So this is where it all culminates. And the Achlis Hayomim, we don't know when it's going to be. Yaakov tried to tell us when it's going to be. We don't know when it's going to be, but we know that it will be. These 17 years of Yaakov will give us a picture of what we have to look forward to when the Mashiach comes, and then we'll be able to see that Bayom Ahu, Yeh Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad, that Hashem's name will be one. And I think that's the big part of the message of the very first pasuk in this week's parasha.